an antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
You know, it was almost the first sermon in Acts, Mike, was a singing together of Old Testament passages to do one great thing. And the great purpose was to show how Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the scriptures, is the fulfillment of all the promises made to Abraham, and how he has brought salvation full and free through his redemptive work in giving his life, dying on the cross, rising the third day, and now being seated on the throne, and now that gospel power is going out to the ends of the earth. There was something they understood when they preached about this, what Paul calls dynamite by which God saves. I think we have to totally recover that today. Am I wrong in saying that? You know, what are your thoughts, Mike?
Well, yeah, I agree. It's sadly, I think a lot of what passes for preaching today is topical messages that are sometimes a little more than self-help or therapy with Jesus attached to them. A lot of stories, a lot of illustration, which isn't bad in itself. We definitely need to illustrate, and there can be a place for a helpful story that illustrates a point in preaching. But oftentimes, what's lost in what passes for a sermon today in much of evangelicalism is the person and work of Christ being central. And this is, I think you hit the nail right on the head, Chris, with the preaching in Acts. When you go through the book of Acts, what do you constantly find in the sermons that are recorded there? You find them not preaching themselves, not preaching Jesus as your helper or your therapist or your life coach, but rather the person of Christ in Jesus of Nazareth, this man who has been raised from the dead. He is the promised one, the champion that God said would come to crush the serpent's head, the one who has come as the offspring of Abraham, the true heir of David, the second Adam, the true Israel. He has fulfilled all of the prophecies. He has satisfied the demands of God's law. He was crucified for our sins, was baptized under the wrath of God, and has now been raised again from the dead in power. That's their message. And so when we preach, what we want to preach is Christ from all the scriptures. And we call that redemptive historical preaching, which is simply Christ from the whole Bible. And we assume that the scriptures are not a collection of timeless principles in abstract, but rather a coherent record of progressive revelation that tells the story of God redeeming a people for himself through the person and work of Christ, his son. And it takes seriously Christ's admonition to the Pharisees, who missed the whole point of the story when he said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." So we're talking about the kind of preaching that the apostles did, the kind of preaching that Christ himself delivered to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, where beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We're talking about preaching that is the kind that allows the Bible to speak as a whole, as the one word of the one God about the one way of salvation.
Yeah, that passage, Mike, on the road to Emmaus is really important for us. You know, they were confused. And it's interesting, they didn't even see Jesus after the resurrection. These two men were blinded to seeing things as they should. And it's interesting how Jesus opened their eyes. It's interesting when you hear him and how he dealt with them after the resurrection. What's the first thing Jesus did in his own preaching? I mean, you would think that we as preachers today in the church would say, after the resurrection, what did Jesus do and what did he demonstrate for us would be the mission and the mandate of the church. Well, we see it there in Luke 24. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, that's a big passage. He's looking at all of Scripture. Notice what it said there, beginning at Moses. You know, maybe you're a listener and you've been raised in dispensationalism, and you know there was an approach to the Bible that looked at the Old Testament differently, and maybe you've never even heard the Old Testament preached. Well, here was Jesus going back to the Old Testament after the resurrection, going to Moses, the prophets, even the Psalms, and expounding and showing how all of those scriptures pointed and were fulfilled by his person and work. And that is so important for us today. That's where the dynamite of God lies. That's where the power lies. You know, is it a fair statement in light of that, Mike, to say, and I've heard this said, you know, that Christianity is not primarily a mode of behavior, but a message to be believed. Now, that message believed then will affect the mode of behavior. Mm-hmm. But we've kind of got it all backwards today. We assume the gospel. We assume that we understand all this stuff. And we've not realized where the real power of God is. It's in the message of the cross, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, we need to hear the gospel, which gives us the power to live the Christian life. And I would ask our listeners, are you hearing that gospel each week? Are you hearing at least a regular, steady, consistent diet of gospel preaching? You know, God uses the analogy of food, doesn't he? In Isaiah 55 says, come and eat. I have what you need. And then we find it over and over again, the prophets. I will raise up shepherds who will feed your souls. Jesus tells Peter when he commissions him, now go and feed my lambs, feed my sheep. So we should be fed, but fed what? Not more stories with moral punchlines. They can even be stories from the Bible. Be like Daniel, be like Joseph, be like this guy or that guy. But are we getting the food, which is Christ? And Satan doesn't want us to have that. We need to remember that, you know, most of us, if we've grown up in church, we've heard characters such as Noah, Joseph, David, Daniel, preached as moral examples to imitate, but not as sinners in the unfolding drama of redemptive history who really foreshadowed Christ. And so really, when we've grown up on those kinds of stories, we really haven't learned the Bible. Because, you know, it's possible to know Bible stories, yet miss the Bible story, you know? And we have to know that the Bible has a storyline. It's more than just a collection of proverbs and sayings and poems and architectural directions in Leviticus. And, you know, it has a lot more than that. It traces an unfolding drama that culminates in the person and work of Christ. It's telling God's story, how he rescues rebels from their sin. And starving, weary souls need to hear that storyline and its unfolding drama. We don't need to hear yet another topical series on how to be a better husband, father, or employee. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband. I want to be better at those things. But in order to do that, I need to hear the gospel.
Well, there's so much there. let's talk a little bit, just for a second, Mike, about you emphasized here, you mentioned the problem today of topical preaching. And right, we can obviously approach the scriptures with topics, we can do that, but that's not our primary purpose in the preaching of the word, is it? Today, we kind of treat the Bible, and you kind of touched on this, like a giant fortune cookie. And what the pastor does is he approaches the text and he says, what do I determine for the people they need? And so he says, well, I want to preach on something that would be nice for them. And so he preaches on a bad marriage and how to have a better marriage, or your husband's been a bum. What do you do? you know, what we need and what we have to think about here is what has the design that the Lord has given us. Mike has just basically summarized for us that what we do in preaching is not about good advice, ultimately. It's about good news. Mm-hmm. There's a crucial difference there. And he also said that Satan wants to attack that. I find it fascinating in the New Testament that the Apostle Paul was dealing with this. In fact, he would even say that Satan is raising up in the church ministers of righteousness who come as angels of light. Now, if that's what's going on in the life of the church, and it's no different today, what do you think they're attacking? Well, if John said, "Let me decrease and Christ increase," I assure you, these ministers are decreasing Christ and increasing themselves. And that's exactly what he says to Corinth. He says, "For if he comes who preaches another Jesus whom we've not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you've not received, or a different gospel which you've not accepted, you may well put up with it." What Paul was shocked with was, Mike, Christians were tolerating this stuff. Christians were accepting this stuff, and he was weeping over this. So it is a very serious issue. We want to exalt Christ in the beauties of his righteousness and gospel because we believe that is God's power to save everyone who believes. That's why we consciously give ourselves to do that in the preaching, despite all the pressures, despite all the temptations to do everything else, right?
That's correct. As R.L. Dabney put it so well long ago, the preacher's business is to take what is given him in the scriptures as it is given to him and to endeavor to imprint it on the souls of men. All else is God's work. That's a very well put way of approaching preaching. We need to give the people the food that God has given them. And so this really becomes an issue of being faithful. And we want people to hear Christ on Sunday and hear him proclaimed in his person and work and see how all the scriptures ultimately testify of him. We're not saying that you need to come to the churches where we pastor, but you do have to go to some good church where you're hearing that. And if you're not hearing that, if you're settling for junk food rather than the rich food, the good meat and the fine wine that God promises his people in this life through the preaching of Christ, then we want to encourage you to find a church where you're hearing the gospel each week, and the gospel rightly distinguished from the law.
Right, and I think it's important to say, we're not promoting here that we should never give instruction in the Christian life. That's really crucial to what we do, but we do make a distinction. We need to make an important distinction between what Christ has done for us and accomplished for us in his person and work. When that truth, when that gospel, which gospel means good news, when that overtakes us, we now seek to actually live out who we now are as new creatures in him in a thankful way. And we'll come back to that next time, Mike, but just to sort of whet our appetite for the next program, how important is that distinction between what Christ has done for us and how we respond, or law and gospel? How important is that for the Christian life?
Well, to mess that up is really to mess up the Bible and Christianity. In many ways, this is what the whole Protestant Reformation was all about. And so when we're talking about redemptive historical preaching, you know, preaching the person and work of Christ from all the scriptures, an essential component of that is rightly distinguishing law, which is God's word that says, "Do this and you shall live," from gospel, which is God's word that says Christ has done it for you. And knowing that good word is what then causes us to go live in obedience to God's law.
Well, Mike, what a wonderful program today to discuss these issues. So important for us today to think about these important distinctions and how good God has been in revealing the gospel of his son to us. If this has been a blessing to you, we do invite you to go to our website at agradio.org. These podcasts are there for you. And as always, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Well, thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.